Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer so we can get in tune. And also, I do want to mention before that there is leftovers in there in case anybody needs some or wants some, or just you can just take some. I'm sure we have plenty of food. So, anyways, have at it. If you have a container, if you just want to eat it here, just however you can get it, get it. Sir.
There's all kinds of containers.
Okay.
Foam containers we have for takeout.
There you go. Okay, good. Good. So take something. So anyways, before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, it simply means to get in fellowship. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So whatever you forget or don't know about, you are still cleansed, and that's grace. So let's pray. Dear Father, we are just thankful for your word, thankful for the illumination that you give us in our personal lives. We know you're always working. And we just pray tonight that we can continue to see and understand more about your plan, more about who you are, and just help us to be a light in this world and be able to glorify you. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So let's read from Ephesians, and I'll start from verse 11. It says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light." And in verse 14, it says, "For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And we studied that verse pretty good in depth. And if you remember, this verse was meant to show us that Christ takes care of the details. I think that's a good way to summarize this verse. The fact that all we have to do is awake and arise. And what we decided was that entailed was to simply become aware. First of all, open our eyes and show up. Show up to the position of getting in line to see what your mission is from God. Now, that doesn't take a whole lot of work. It takes just being aware and having that small desire to want to do something positive in the plan of God. You may not know what it is, or someone may not know what it is that we know, but the fact that they want something better than they have in the position they're in is all that it takes. That is absolutely it. And then it says, "And Christ will shine on you." And we studied what that was, but there's a lot involved in that shining, because Christ provides the Word. He provides just everything that we need to be in a much 100% better position than we were before we were growing, or before when we were asleep, or when we were taking a break, or whatever. He takes those things into account and he shines on you. So we are spiritually fed. We never run out of the Word. God has a way of always providing, filling that gap when we need it. So, and then part of the shining also includes everything related to the spiritual life. We said his Word, his mind, that we learn, and then we're able to think with. So that's all part of that shining. And it's funny, when we studied this verse after we got done with it, I thought, well, you know, God always gives us the path of least resistance, doesn't he? He makes it easy, as simple as possible. He lays it out for us, and he makes it as just shows us the way. And if we just follow what he's telling us, it becomes so simple. It really does. It's just a matter of following and allowing him to lead. A lot of people don't like allowing God's word to be their authority or the number one authority in their life. But that's what we have to do. If we want to keep it simple, if we want to not get bogged down in, you know, any kind of people problems or getting our eyes on people, well, then we let the word dictate for us on how we're supposed to lead our lives. And that's when things get very simple, because God knows we can't get it too complicated, or what do we do with it? We'll just mess it up. And so he made it simple. He laid it out for us in his word. And then verse 15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So this is right after awake sleeper. Arise, and, you know, Christ will take care of the rest. And it says, be careful. Be careful how you walk. And that was our 2022 resolution. This was the careful, the paying attention to our walk. And I think what we concluded on this was, all this consists of is making right decisions. Making more right decisions than wrong decisions within the plan of God. And if we can make that a resolution, look how much it covers. I mean, it's pretty broad. So, but we've got to have this carefulness, or the attention that we have to give to our walk, or to that part of growing spiritually, just as you're doing. I'd say if you show up on a Wednesday, that's part of being careful. I think so. That's carefulness. Or taking the time out, even when you may not want to, on when you're at home and maybe there's no church, still taking the time and, you know, listening to the word. You know, I'm not saying it has to be from here. There's a lot of people that teach the word. I really have enough Bible classes, to be honest with you. Maybe one day we'll change that, but I'm not really in a position right now to do that. But there's still a lot of teachers that teach the word. And it's just you have a desire and you take out that time. That's part of being careful. Because as you well know, if we go a day without it, we start to make bad decisions. And that's just how quick it happens. I wish it would last a week or so, but it doesn't. It just doesn't. And that can be hours, you know, how we work. So we made this our 2022 resolution. And this was based on having the power of discernment when we receive God's word. That's carefulness. That's being able to see things unlike other people can see things. That's you being focused on the word. Your priority in the word is number one. And even though all the crowd may be doing one thing, you're careful enough to see that it may not be what I or you are supposed to be doing. And that's part of being careful. That's part recognizing, well, maybe this is popular now, or maybe this is a trend, but having the discernment to see that it's just not right for you at that moment. And that's a big deal, because I think part of discernment is timing. It's timing on our part to be able to recognize, should I be doing something now, or should I just hold back and wait and say, you know what, it's not time yet. And that's that carefulness, because we can easily jump into something. And we many times want to jump in. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being motivated and gung-ho when it comes to this life or ministry, or, you know, even an opportunity in the secular world. But at the same time, if you don't have your spiritual head screwed on properly, you need to wait. You need to wait. And that takes that careful understanding. And part of that was just what the verse says. It takes being wise, and that includes wisdom. It says, not as unwise men, but wise. So we made the distinction here that the wisdom here is referring to, of course, divine wisdom, because there's a very clear distinction in Scripture between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. And people will convince you that the word is just the word. And, you know, I've got experience to tell you otherwise. I've experienced it. I've done this and I've done that. But if the word says otherwise, if you have the discernment to see, experience can mean absolutely nothing when it comes to the spiritual life. It may be valid, it may not be valid. But we're not talking about a resume here. We're talking about spiritual issues and resolving spiritual problems. Experience may just be a lack of understanding and hitting your head against a brick wall. That may be their experience. Well, guess what? If you're going to keep doing the same thing over and over with no change, isn't that the definition of going crazy? I think it is. So we have to take experience with a grain of salt when it comes from the world, because their understanding on how to resolve an issue, whether it be love, relationships, finding the right church, whether it be any of these things, take it with a grain of salt, because they may not have the discernment, the understanding that you have. That's big time. That's important. So there's a clear distinction between that God makes in His wisdom and in the wisdom of the people of this world. So, of course, the biggest part of this is our solutions are always temporary, whereas God's is very lasting and permanent and satisfying. And that's a big deal, you know. When you get a solution, let's just say a relational solution on how to resolve maybe a friendship or boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband, a lot of those things are temporary. They may help, right? There's nothing wrong with help or alleviating some of the pain. But all those relationship issues are spiritual problems. They're spiritual problems. And if both of those couples would have a clear understanding of what the Word says about that, there would be no issue. It's always a lack of understanding when it comes to the truth. Every single time, hands down. So we can help. There's nothing wrong with helping in a way that is even temporary. But at the end of the day, we want to know for sure, or we do know for sure, where the solutions lie, right here in the Word. So if we can direct them this way, how much more of an advantage I think they have first, and then also you have just associating with them. Because if they're not looking for the wrong solution, they're not going in that circular spin of, you know, coming back and having the same issue maybe a year, two, three, four, then that gives you a peace of mind. It gives you a sense of happiness, because look who's being glorified in that. It's God. They are taking advantage of what God has given them, and they're seeking His solutions. And you were just able to be a part of that, a grace part that God has, graced you out with and given you the ability to do. A lot of you have good advice. You have good, sound, doctrinal, biblical advice that you can give friends, family, co-workers, you know. And that's what people need, whether it's a tiny little something that makes them think, oh, you know, that was different. Or maybe it's just a full conversation. It just depends. But you get the point. A lot of you understand that's what we need. So then we continued this. And also that's why 1 Corinthians 3:19, that was just a comparison there of men versus the wisdom of God. And then so we continued with the resolution, and it's telling us how to walk wisely in Ephesians 5:16. Let's go there. It says, make the most of your time, because the days are evil. See, it's kind of the same type of thing. We're talking about the walk here. Walking wisely, and now we're supposed to make the most of our time. So let's look at that. Make the most of your time. And some translations say redeeming the time, which I like, because the days are evil. You can see the word, and it's a good word. It means to buy up, to rescue from loss, to make up for, to redeem, to make the most of by gaining an advantage or opportunity. And I like that. Because that's essentially what we do, don't we? we're not only taking advantage, but you are taking advantage for an opportunity. There's an opportunity that you're buying back for the advantage. We could say it like that. So you can definitely hear why the word redeem here fits. It fits well. Just the English word redeem means to recover ownership by paying a specified sum, that would be your time, or to save or set free. Now, see, we know redeem also has a salvational aspect, right? But in the sense that God redeemed us, He bought us. He purchased our salvation and allowed us that aspect of being able to get a second chance. And that's essentially what we're doing when we purchase our time, when we take advantage of it, and we buy it back instead of letting it just go by the wayside. That's redeeming. That's redeeming it. There's only three other verses with this word in it, with this particular Greek word. Two of the verses refer to Christ redeeming man by purchasing our freedom, salvation. The other one has to do with this right here, making the most of your time, redeeming the time. So you can see there's a little bit of cross here. There's something that happened or is happening for the advantage. It may not be fun at the beginning. It may not be, you may not be able to see why, but the fact is that you know you're making the most of it. You're taking advantage, you're redeeming the time when other people aren't. When other people aren't. Because just the fact that we know this gives you the advantage. I'll say that. Just the fact that we are studying this small little Greek word out of the entire Bible gives us the advantage. We saw it. We looked at what it meant. We know what God is telling us. And look at it. It is a present middle participle. You know what middle indicates, right? Participation. That includes you and my participation of rescuing the time from loss. Because that's where it goes, right? We all know that. And I'm not saying that we have to be, you know, studying 24/7. I just think there is a healthy amount of time that we can rescue from loss and still be very, very effective versus not. And I think that's different for everybody depending on where you are in your life. Everybody has things in their life that has to take time. We know that. There's people, there's work, there's circumstances that you have to, that take your time, require your time. And so you're the one that has to organize your time in such a way, or manage your time in such a way where you can squeeze this word in there and allow yourself to be able to make up for this, to make up for this. Because the only thing that's going to be made up for or redeemed is the fact when you buy it back and you put this in its place. When you put your faith in your relationship in Christ in the place of just being time being gone by the wayside, you've bought it back. You've purchased it. In other words, there's an advantage that you receive back that you couldn't have got back otherwise. That's how time works. It just goes. And once it's gone, it's gone. So we want to buy as much of that time back as we can. You know, don't go crazy doing it, but buy it back. Recover ownership by paying a specified sum. I like that because when you think about your time, what are you doing? You are recovering. It's a recovering process. You're not letting it go. You're not letting it slip out of your hands. You're taking back a hold of it. And that is ticking away now, daily. So I'd say we're definitely redeeming the time right now, aren't we? That's what we're all doing. And then Colossians 4:5 was that other example with the word in here I wanted to show you. It says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. There's the word. It's funny how we have a lot of different English translations for the one Greek word. That's one Greek word, making the most of the opportunity, right there. I think that's a good translation, isn't it? Because if we're focused and we're able to make a change in our mind and our thinking, and it affects our walk, you could definitely say you've made the most of that opportunity. Because the result of making the most of that opportunity is what? A good decision. One right decision, or two or three or hundreds or thousands, comes from making the most of your time. That's how that works. And I think it can only have positive effects. You know, the aftermath is only positive and right decisions. So we are taking advantage or buying back the time and making the most of the present opportunity. And at the same time, part of this, I feel, is, I think the definition said that, recognizing the future gain. Recognizing the future gain. See, Christ knows, of course, everything before it happens, has always known it. So he knew the advantage of the cross. And I would say we know the advantage when we redeem the time. We know the effects. We can look back through experience and say, you know, there was a time when I did this, I redeemed the time, I was very close in that relationship, and you saw the results. You saw those results, and they're positive every single time. Now, we may go like this afterwards, but then when we get back, we can see those results again. It's very consistent. It's very consistent when we start to redeem, when we start to make the most of the opportunity, you will begin to see that the consistency lies in the Word. The consistency lies in you, not with us, right? We're the ones that keep, but every time we go back closer to that relationship, things seem to go right back to where they were. Solid foundation, secure. All of a sudden, things are starting to line up. You're waiting on God's timing for some reason. You have patience now. Before, you didn't have patience because you're redeeming. You're taking advantage of. See the results of everything that just outflow of that? Just by redeeming, you know, that's what gives us the qualities, I think, of the Word of God. Allows us to think and have our thinking changed by it. That's part of what we're doing now. We're redeeming the time, and the we see the results, and we can read about them, and we can also experience them. So we know the results. We absolutely, without a doubt, know them, because we can for sure see them. And I think that's important to recognize the gain of what you're doing. There is a gain. There's something not only today, but for tomorrow. There's something not only for tomorrow, but for the rest of your life that affects not only you, but people around you. We don't know all the details, but we know the effects flow to other people. They flow out of you. That's the grace aspect. That's how the Word works. You think with it, and then it moves to other people because they are affected by you. They are. That's the only thing that can happen from the Word, or from you having a solid relationship in your faith. That's a solid, you know, that's something that we can sometimes take for granted, I think, when we think about faith, but that's your reality. Faith is your reality of who God is. That's not something that we hope for in the human sense. This is a real thing. This is our reality. Faith is the process of believing the unseen. That's what we do. We see the Word, we take it in, and we believe it. So we know the gain. We know the advantage, but it may not seem sometimes like the advantage. We've been there, right? We say we're just not into it. We're not feeling it. We're going through some serious testing, and we're not seeing the immediate advantage at the moment. But guess what? It has advantages. It has benefits. Not just here. Think about eternity. See, the advantage doesn't just stop. It may affect you at that moment. It may not. It may affect someone else around you at that moment. It may not. And it may affect multiple people around you at that moment. And this can continue for years and years and years after you are gone. Believe it or not. The Word of God lasts forever and it abides. And when this happens in your life and you can affect someone in a way to where you can see results, guess what? That's not going to stop. Because people take this kind of thing to the grave with them. Once they latch on board like you are, that's just the results of the Word. God draws people in. So take advantage of it. Buy it back. And of course, we know about how effective and how powerful the resources are that God gives us. And this verse tells us the reason why we are to seize the moment, because we have a little marker here indicating cause. Indicating cause. Let me see. Because the days are evil. That's why we need to redeem or take advantage of or buy it back. Because the days are evil. What's funny is this is what Satan does not want you to know. He doesn't want you to know the days are evil. He doesn't want you to know that you need to pay attention, careful attention. That's the word, that be careful. Satan doesn't, see, he doesn't like things like that because then you're paying attention. Then your focus, your alert is up. That's what he doesn't want. No, there's no evil. There's nothing happening here. That's what he wants. Everything's okay. Right? But this verse is telling just the opposite. It's saying the days are evil. So we've got time, which is the God-given time that we have available. And it's saying the days are evil. This is where we live. This is where we live. The church age, we could say. This is long before that, and it's going to happen until Satan is bound for 1,000 years and then booted in the lake of fire at the end of that. But right now, the days are evil. The days are evil. So don't be surprised when everyone is unaware of this. Everyone is clueless about the days being evil. Because that's one of Satan's strategies. Nothing happening. Because if he can convince you that the days are not evil, what does he do? Well, he lowers your sense of urgency to seize the moment or to recognize the importance of what you're doing right now. That goes down. You know, we have an alertness. There's something there that we see the word. We say, okay, I know I can easily get off track. I know I have to redeem the time because I know how easy it is to slip by me. And once that's in you, that's a part of you. It's always in the back of your mind. Whether we follow it or not is up to us, but we at least can see it and understand it. Now, this is what Satan doesn't want. He doesn't want you to be able to take advantage or be on alert. Just calm down, have a seat, and just don't worry about it. That's what Satan would like for you to do. Because then you're not really doing anything. Your separation, you're basically reverting back, right? Reverting back. So you may not recognize the importance if you don't have a sense of urgency. So seize the moment. And you may not feel as great of a need to recover or redeem your time or making the most of the loss. So, and all that results in what? Not making the most of your time. Or being careful how you walk. But we can clearly see here that the days are evil, so we've got to take advantage of what this verse is saying. Make the most of your time. So it requires a proper use of your time, is what this verse is telling us. Proper use of time. That will be a challenge. I think that's a challenge, and I think it will be a challenge until you depart this earth. Is time. How do you manage your time? What do you do in a day? How do you do it? Where do you do it? And what do you have a plan? Is there anything that cuts off certain activities versus not cut them off? Is there anything that we need to be aware of when it comes to other people being involved, when it comes to taking your time from the Word? Need to think about these things. We really do need to think about these things, because there's a lot of things that you can get involved in that take your time from the Word. Very subtly, but that's what they do. And that's what Satan wants to do, and he wants your time to be, I don't have any time. I just didn't have time. I don't have that. That's where he wants you. You know, that's where we are as a country right now. We just don't have any time. No time. There's no time. Remember, there used to be a lot of time. There was also a lot of time for God back then. There was a lot of time to spend with family, because there was a lot of time to spend with God. Now there's no time. No time. There's no time for God. There's no time for family. There's no time to intimate conversations. There's no time. It's a weird time, isn't it? Because there's no time. The days are evil. But that's what Satan wants us to do. We're right in a good position where things are moving 1,000 miles an hour. You've always got somewhere to be, something to do, and your brain is thinking of the next thing to do. But this is what we need to be doing. This is where our time needs to be focused, right here. Because those things God will provide. Those are all opportunities outside of His Word that He gives you. Blessings that He wants you to be a part of. He wants you to spend your time there, but He wants you to spend them with the right kind of thinking, with the right attitude. And when you lose perspective on this, making the most of your time, it's kind of like a waste of time in the other events. You're spending all the time there, but you've lost perspective. You've lost the aspect of glorifying God, and you're spending the time in whatever you're doing, but look what happened. You've gotten sidetracked. You've gotten detoured because you've lost that sense of this carefulness in the walk. Time is a big deal. And nowadays, no one thinks about it, really. No one thinks about it. But time is given to us, and I think it's also meant to be a test, right? Time is always a test. It's one of the tests in our lives. But it's also one of those things that you can just give to God. You can say, God, I only have so much of me, and I have so much of this in a day, and watch Him work it out. Watch Him work out the details. See what you're doing? You're redeeming, because you've gone to the solution, God, and maybe you're in a position where you don't have enough time, but you're acknowledging who has the answers. You're acknowledging, so you haven't gotten off track. You haven't detoured, because you're still redeeming, because you're focused right here. And you're in the right position. I think if you're thinking, if you're walking, you're thinking. If you're walking with the Lord, you're thinking about the Lord, thinking about God, thinking about His Word, and you're looking to Him for solutions. So be careful, be careful. So the word for time here is, I already mentioned this, but it's referring to your God-given time on this earth, which has been granted to us by grace. Grace. We don't always think about that, but every day we wake up is a gift. It really is. It's a gift. I mean, you know, a lot of times we think, boy, this is going to be a rough day and I don't even want to get out of bed. Or I'm not feeling good, or, you know, I've got to deal with this test today and I'm not really looking forward to it, or something else. Maybe you're just down and it just, you're just not looking forward to that next day. Think about it like this. It's a gift. God has given it to you for a specific reason to walk. And to also be careful in that walk, because there's a lot of spiritual battles to win that day. There's a lot of right decisions, maybe small, maybe big battles, but a right decision that glorifies God is a win. And if there's maybe one or two decisions that you can do to glorify God that day, you've redeemed. You've taken advantage. That's to your advantage. You've just put that in your pocket. You've put that reserve in your backpack. You're packing your bags, remember? And we can only pack our bags for so long. We're only given what we're given on this earth. So don't be so depressed about the allowance of grace that God is giving you to continue in something that doesn't last forever. We're only given a limited amount of time, and we've got things to do. We really do. We've got things to do. So time. And I'm not sure you think about your time this way, but if we don't, we need to. We really do, because each day you wake up is a gift. And you're, as a maturing believer, think about what you can fulfill. Your role, your calling, Christian service. This life is the only time to enjoy the blessing God provides on this earth. Some of these things, you know, we'll have to experience in heaven. You can enjoy blessings now. You can enjoy the things God has given you to think with now. You can be happy now. All these things are very, very available right now. So we need to start to enjoy ourselves. Start to relax, sit back, and just watch God work. That's how He wants you to think. That's how His life that He's given us is designed to work. It's not designed to, always have something that's stressing you out. It's not. It's not designed to be like that. There's good things here, and we need to enjoy the blessings that we're given. So the days here is plural, and we already know I said that's here in the now. The days of the church age, or at least it applies to us today. The days are evil. And then a good verse for this, another one that I wanted to look at, because we have some commands here. Same type of, I guess you could say, theme or content. Let me read it. Well, let's start with verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Let's stop there. Now, you can see what it's talking about. Your adversary, the devil. And this is the same type of thing as redeeming the time. Be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Now, I underline the first half of this verse because there's actually two imperatives here. There's two commands. Two commands here. Be of sober spirit and be on the alert. There's your two phrases or two commands. And the point here is, I don't think it's necessarily talking about being drunk. I think it's making a contrast here about alertness versus not being alert. And the point of this verse is to show you what happens when a person is affected by alcohol. What happens by that? Well, you can't be alert. You can't control what you do. We have to be in absolute control of our decisions. We have to. We can't be hazy. We can't be foggy. We can't be, too slow to make a decision. This is saying be alert. This is saying be alert. And the opposite of that is to have something controlling your life that is not keeping you or making you or letting you be alert. That could be many things. Yeah, it could be alcohol, but it could be a person. So be sober. Literally here, the word does mean abstain from alcohol. And I do think that does apply. Although, as you well know, drinking isn't a sin. Getting drunk is a sin. I could show you many, many verses in the Bible where alcohol is actually beneficial to your health. So the point of this is here is to show what we are not to be influenced by something that affects your thinking to be alert. Or something that impairs you in such a way. And of course we have a verse coming up that talks about what? Alcohol and the filling of the Spirit. So there's another correlation. Yeah, I think this is kind of just a precursor type of thing, warming us up to that. And that's just talking about the controlling influence on you as a person to make decisions. And I think that's the same thing here. What's controlling your decisions? Well, if it's alcohol or some other influencing agent, it's your Olsen nature that's controlling your decisions. You can't be alert when it's your Olsen nature. When we're out of fellowship, it's not a good place to be. So that was Ephesians 5:18 coming up that we'll talk a little bit more about that. We need to avoid cloudy judgment. There's a good way to put it. Avoid cloudy judgment. We need clarity. We've got to have clarity in our spiritual lives. If we're going to make good decisions that bypasses Satan's deceptive strategies, we've got to do just this. Avoid cloudy judgment. Whatever does that to you, you may be in the toolies from some boy or girl. If that is clouding your judgment, be careful. Be careful. It reminds me of the skunk. The two skunks, what was that cartoon? I don't remember their names. They're always in love. And every time that female skunk would come around, He'd go nutty. Funny. So your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. There it is, seeking someone to devour. And then it says, verse 9, but resist him. Now that's a command. That means to be in opposition to set yourself against him. It says, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Guess what? You're not alone. You're not alone. Isn't that good to know? When you're suffering, Satan is bombing you, you're getting tested, your brethren are doing the same thing as you. Your brothers in the faith. We all go through this. And then it says, verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's a good verse. But look what the content of it is referring to. The devil and being on alert. That's what it's referring to. So, I mean, just the fact this verse, I think, is bringing up the time aspect again here. So, it kind of reminds me of, you know, going to work or something where you're under someone's rules for a set amount of time. And I know the work example is probably a bad one. That's 8 hours a day. But think about your Christian services 24/7. We're always in Christian service. We don't ever take a break off of that. Remember, this is a thinking process that you take with you. So you have a duty before God to make right decisions and set the example. We have a duty to set the example before others. And I think people know and can see when you can make right decisions that are based on the Word. You make a difference and it makes an impression. And you know that. You've seen that. Set the example, biblical example to others. 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So don't have a flashback about our suffering series, but you can see the point here. There's a couple things I wanted to point out about this verse. Apparently, there is a trade-off here and a clear distinction between suffering in the flesh and righteous living according to God's will. See that? We either suffer in the flesh or live for and serve the flesh. One of the two. And that, I think that's why redeeming the time, or what redeeming the time looks like. Sacrificing your own desires, your own things that you would like to see come to a reality versus what God desires. That's part of the sacrifice. But look what happens. Instead of following the lust of men, you're now following the will of God. Does that have benefits? You're darn right it does. You are darn right it does. What's a little suffering in comparison to living according to God's will? Nothing. It is nothing at all. Because we already studied that the same suffering for the will of God brings with it what? Everything that the Word of God gives you. Contentment, happiness, satisfaction with where you find yourself in life. Not with what you could or where you could find yourself, with where you find yourself in life right now. And also with what you find yourself with right now. That's what the Word gives us and allows us to do. It gives you contentment. But look what it takes. Living in the will of God. That's what it takes. So, that's what God has given us. It's not what you think He should give you, but what He has given you and what you currently have. So, the Ephesians, this verse, or this book, is saying that the days are evil. And because of that, it's not all that difficult to be unhappy, discontent, or dissatisfied. But that's what Satan offers you in the form of human solutions. That's not what God offers. God is saying, be on alert, be careful how you walk. Follow the will of God, but look what it takes, a little bit of suffering. But look at the effects of that. You can be content with where you are, with what you have, and be happy. So I think that's a good place to stop. And next time we'll get into verse 17, and I'll read it real quick. It says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we're still talking about the will, but it takes understanding. Takes understanding. So that's what we'll look at next time. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are always amazed by Your Word. We're always thankful by what it shows us and what we can do. And we just pray that we can maintain the vigilance that You require, the carefulness, the consideration that we can pay attention to our spiritual life, to our walk, and start to maybe perking up to our time, because we know that time is limited. The times are evil, the days are evil, and we just pray that through Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can further Your plan and begin to think more and more like You. We thank You for everything, and most of all for Jesus Christ, for allowing us all these wonderful things through the cross and paying for our salvation. Thank You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.